This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
The world know it. If I kept you all last week, then you ought to let the world know it. The food that you have waiting on you on your table, that's God's provision. The clothes that you have on your back, that's God's provision. And if God's been good to you, he says, glorify me. And look, not just in secret, he said, if you be ashamed to own me before men, then I'll be ashamed to own you before my Father, which is in heaven. So prayer gives us access to God. But then look what the text keeps saying. It says, and evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Prayer is available to all believers. Watch what he says. He says now, he says at evening, at morning, and at noon. In other words, the psalmist said, man, I pray all day long. And listen, you can just say, Lord, have mercy. That's a prayer. When you pull up into your daily occupation, before you get out of your car, say, Lord, keep us on this day. Because you don't know what can happen in a day's time. That young man at Procter & Gamble, when he went to work and clocked in, he didn't know that was going to be the last time that he was going to clock in. So don't take life for granted. Don't just think that you're going to be here always. And that's why he says, in the evening, morning, and at noon, I pray to God and I thank God. Even when I get home from work, I thank God for allowing me to get home safe. This job may not be all I wanted, but it's a paycheck for me to take care of my family, to put food on my table. And I just want to say, Lord, thank you. Have you ever had a Lord thank you prayer? You didn't ask him for nothing. You didn't beg him for nothing. You just say, Lord, thank you. You just say, Lord, thank you. Prayer is open to all saints. Prayer is not just for the exceptional. Prayer is not just for those who are brilliant. All of us can pray. Never fear that you have no right to pray. And maybe your name wasn't on program to pray today, but doesn't mean you shouldn't pray. You said the only time you pray is when your name on program. But your name is on program every day. When God wakes you up, he just put your name on program. When God just put food on your table, he just put your name on the program. When he put clothes on your back, he just put your name on the program. And you may not be able to pray in the church house all the time, but doesn't mean you shouldn't pray. Call upon the name of the Lord. Prayer is an exercise that deserved, and it is privileged by us, given to God by us. God comes on and says, listen, my son is gone. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to give you something to keep in contact with me. Prayer is like God's business card. You just met somebody and they give you a call to hear, man, contact me. My number is on the card. God contacted. And don't you glad that when you call God, you get God? You don't get a recording? I don't know the last time I called a business and got a human on the other side. Aren't you glad you don't get up? When you call God, you don't hear, for one, press love. For love, press two. For mercy, press three. For forgiveness, press four. For all other requests, just stay on the line. Aren't you glad to say, I'm sorry, but this office is closed for the weekend. Call us back Monday morning. Don't you glad you don't get that kind of stuff when you call on God? When you call on God, He will answer. He will answer. Jeremiah 33 and says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So prayer anticipates an answer. So when I pray to God, look at verse 17 in part. It said, I cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. So when I pray, I anticipate an answer. Now watch this. He may not answer you when you want him to answer, but he will answer. Now can I help you a little further? The answer you get might not be the answer you want, but you will get an answer. Watch this. Isaiah 65 and 24. Watch this. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they yet speaking, I will hear. You just missed it. God says, before you call, I've already answered you. Now, in other words, God already know what you have need of even before you ask him. God have already put in motion for what you need even before you asked him for it. How many can testify, and sometime even while you're on your knees, God just start blessing you? And if I don't have it right away, God would give me the patience to wait on him. But can I tell you something? It's dangerous to move before time. If you're going to ask God for something, don't put God on a time limit and a timetable. Do you need a blessing? Don't say, God, I'm giving you 24 hours. God said, I just gave you 24 years. If I can give you 24 years, you can't wait on me. See, when you get cutoff notices and eviction notices, don't panic. It ain't the first time. This ain't your first rodeo. And the same God that took care of you then will take care of you now. Prayer is a privilege because God has promised to hear us and that he will answer us. So when I'm talking to the Lord, I'm just not talking in the air. I'm talking to God. Let me say this before we move on and close. I've said it before, I need to say it again, that when you go to God in private, there are some prayers that you pray in private that you should never pray in public. Come on, let's get real. There are some conversations that God and you have had that you would never have the same conversation in public. Some people say, Reb, no, you need to pray to saints. I need what God says. God say, go in your closet and talk to me in secret, and I will reward you openly. In other words, what God is saying, there are some conversations that you and I only need to have. I wish I have somebody that can testify. Don't you look at me like that. You know you done had them closet prayers with God. You know you done went in there and told God some things that you've done or some things you thought about doing that you would never say on devotion. Amen? Come on, let's get real. How many done had them close-in closet prayers with God? But you know what? Here's your praise cue. You want to know what's the joyous thing about that? God allows it to happen. God said, I know you're going through some things and you don't need to let everybody know, so I'm going to give you a chance just to tell me about it. And I'm so glad that God allows us to go in the secret place with him and talk to him about our faults, about our desires, about our mess-ups, about our setbacks. And when we get out of the closet with God, he never put it on Facebook. He never put it on Twitter. He don't tell the world about it. He don't call the newspaper and put it on the front page. God just handles our problems. Is there anybody can testify and say, God is a problem solver? Mm. And don't you know that God takes pleasure in answering our prayers? Luke 12 and 32 says, well, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't you know God want to give you every desire of your heart? Now, I know we didn't got into the African-American black culture in the church where we say God don't give us what we want, but that's not biblical. He did say that I will give you the desires of your heart. But then he gave a stipulation. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that which you desire will be added unto you. Now, the question is, God is willing to give it to you, but the true question is why you really want it. Sometimes you want it just to show somebody else up. God ain't going to bless you like that. If you just want it just to go around and show everybody what you got, God ain't going to bless you like that. But whatever you want with a true, sincere, genuine desire, God will give it to you. Now, watch this. We're just about done. Verse 18, he that delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Prayer achieves the impossible. Look what he says. He says, for he that delivered my soul in peace from the battle. What have I been telling you? Look what he says in the text. He says, he's delivered my soul in peace. What you want from God is a peace of mind. I wish I had some. What you want from God is to wake up in the morning and have a peace of mind. To drive through the day and just have a peace of mind. To lay down at night with a peace of mind. While you praying for a Cadillac and a Lexus and a BMW and all these two-story homes and a seven-figure bank account, can none of these things give you a peace of mind if the doctor just said you've been diagnosed with cancer? But you want something that's gonna go beyond a car. When a car fail, when my car fail, I still got transportation. If my house get taken away, I still got shelter. If I don't have a dime in my pocket, I'm still rich. And that only comes from God. Is there anybody in here just want a peace of mind? That's all I want, God, is a peace of mind. I want a smile on my face. I want to be happy again. I want to come to church and worship the way I used to worship. I want to love you, God, the way I used to love you. I want to be faithful the way I used to be faithful. I want peace. And prayer can achieve the impossible. Satan tries to tell you that there is no peace in sight. You need to tell Satan, look at you. I never find peace. But I thank God that there is peace. And prayer can achieve the impossible. If you don't believe me, won't you ask Moses? When they were boxed in at the Red Sea. Mount Belzapalm on the left, Mount Farhara on the right, Red Sea in front, a hostile raging army closing in from behind, and Moses start talking to the Lord. And when Moses talked to the Lord talked back to Moses. Told Moses, what you got in your hand, Moses? See, Lord, let me pause right there parenthetically and tell you, sometimes what you need, God have already given it to you. You're praying for this, and God said, you already got it. You need love, God said, you already got it. You need peace, you already got it. All you got to do is exercise what you got. Is there anybody come here to exercise? Y'all excuse the grammar. I got to say it the way I... Anybody come here to exercise what you got? He gave you praise. Won't you exercise it? He gave you worship. Why don't you exercise it? He gave you a hand. Won't you wave it in his name? He gave you a voice. Won't you cry out? Hallelujah. He's already given you the weapons you need to get the job done. Go on in verse 22. We out of here. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Oh Lord, here it is. And shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Prayer advertises God's greatness. He says he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. He never said that we're not going to have hard times. But God simply said it's not going to move you where I put you. And see, when God places you somewhere, can't nobody move you. And if you're on your job, if I'm speaking to you this morning and you're up for a promotion and 5 or 10 others are up for the same promotion, don't be afraid. Because when it's your time, it makes no difference how many have put in for the job. You don't have to lie on them. You don't have to sneak around and try to discredit them. Just have faith in God. Because when it's your time, can't no man stop you. When it's your time, can't no woman stop you. When God have your name on the dotted line for promotion, it makes no difference who's up for it. They may have more education than you. They may have more experience than you. But the only thing you have over them, you got God on your side. And how can you handle somebody with God on their side? So when we pray, you got to pray with expectancy. You got to pray with God expecting to do something. See, this don't make prayer a tradition or a ritual. When I pray with expectancy. I pray God is going to do something. Now, he may not do it the way I want him to do it because he's sovereign. That means he does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me throw this in the gumbo for you. Listen to me. You better be careful how you treat people. Because you don't know who God gonna use to bless you. While you sneaking around the corner trying to pull somebody down, God gonna use that same somebody. While you praying for a blessing, says the one you lied on last week, you're gonna have to go back to him because that's who I'm gonna bless you through. That's why it's best to treat everybody the same. He said, what have you done under the least of mine, you shall also. You have also done it unto me. Can I say this? I've told you again, over and over, and I'm going to tell you again, Mount Zion, be careful how you look at the laws. When you're driving to church and seeing the drug addict at the store asking for change, be careful. The woman walking up and down the street selling her bodies for drugs, be careful how you drive by and shake your head at her. Because you don't know what God's going to do in her life before she leaves this place. And I do remember that he says that the last is going to be first and the first is going to be last. You don't know what God's going to do with that drug addict standing by that car in that store asking you for change, because you got to understand you ain't been all that you've been all of your life either. You could have been walking up down the street. You could have been at the gas station begging somebody for change. You are here because somebody took the time to pray for you when you didn't even pray for yourself. Instead of shaking your head, you need to pray for them like somebody prayed for you. When we look at the prayer that Jesus told the disciples to pray, he told them to say this, as I dissect it for you. Our Father which is in heaven, that's power. Hallowed be thy name, that's priority. Thy kingdom come, that's program. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. That's God's plan. Give us this day our daily bread. That's provision. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. That's pardon. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's protection. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That's praise. So when I pray, God gives me power. When I pray, God set my priorities. When I pray, God gives me a program. When I pray, God have already given me the plan. When I pray, God have already given me provision. When I pray, God has given me a pardon. Let me hang right there. When I pray, God has given me a pardon. Let me say it again. When I pray, God has forgiven me a pardon. That means he looks beyond my faults and he saw my needs. Not only do I have a pardon, but I have God's protection. And since I have power, since I have priority, since I have a program, since I have plans, since I have his provision, since I have his pardon and his protection, that makes me want to give God praise. Is there anybody here want to give the Lord praise? Let me say it like this. Is there anybody here believe God deserves our praise? Do you believe he deserves our prayer? I come by to tell you he's worthy to talk to. And in the midnight hour, when you call your pastor and I don't answer, I know somebody who never sleeps, nor does he slumber. Let me say it again. God never sleeps, nor does he slumber. So if God stays up, there is no need for me to stay up. It made no sense in both of us not sleeping. God stays up so I can get my rest and have confidence in this, that my God, he is able. Is there anybody here can say God got some good hands? Is there anybody here to say, I'm glad I'm in the hands of the Lord? Because as long as I'm in his hand, can't no devil, can't no man pluck me out of the hands of the Lord. When I think about God's hands, his hands took nothing and made something, then took something and made everything. When I think about God's hand, he took psyllium, he took oxygen, and he made dirt. And from the dirt, he made dust. From the dust, he made a man. From the man, he made a woman. Man and woman, he made all men. Watch this. He grabbed his hand, he took helium, he took hydrogen, and he made the sun. And from the sun, he made light. From the light, he made heat. From the heat, he made energy. Then he took angiosperm and he made a seed. And from the seed, he made a sprout. From the sprout, he made a brush. From the brush, he made a bush. From the bush, he made a tree. From the tree, he made wood. And from the wood, he made a cross. Sent his son that we might live. Is there anybody here? Say, God got some good hands, and in his hands I put my trust. In his hands I give my praise. Isn't he all right? Do you know he's all right? If you're not ashamed, tell the Lord, thank you for healing my body. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Ain't he all right? Do you know he's all right? If you're not ashamed, tell somebody, the Lord has been good to me. Ah, he has set me free. Ain't he good? Say yeah. Ain't he good? Say yes. Say yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. prayer. Prayer works. If Jesus had to pray, what about me? And when we talk to God, we're putting everything in his hands. I'm so glad that God put this on Sister Wanda Green's heart. Our church needed prayer. He said that this is the house of prayer. One of the occasions when you saw Jesus angry, when he walked in the temple, seeing him doing everything for what the temple was designed to do. This world today, minds are terrible. Just this Saturday, we hosted the youth convention. Little girls and little boys were walking up, teenagers walking up down the hall. And let me show you how far gone our youth are. She said, "Are you the pastor?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Where's the auditorium?" I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "Where is the auditorium?" I said, "Baby, we don't have an auditorium in here." "No, I'm talking about where everybody is gathered." I said, "Sweetie, that's a sanctuary. You go to Peabody and you find an auditorium. We have converted God's house. Some churches